You guys know not to trust everything you see on the internet, right? But it is so hard to tell sometimes when disinformation is being served to us. Should platforms do more? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Jack Stewart, in for Molly Wood. An in-depth report last month looked at climate disinformation online, and it found that YouTube was spreading videos like this one through its recommendation or watch next algorithms.
The science is not settled. The debate is not over. The climate is always changing. It always has, and it always will.
Like many of these videos, this is slick and professional. It seems credible. Not only are these videos popping up to the very top of watch next queues of YouTube's billions of users, but they're wrapped in regular ads from big-name companies who are therefore unwittingly funding this misinformation. David Roberts at Vox wrote about the problems YouTube faces in deciding how to police these videos.
You know, it's a really difficult dilemma YouTube is in. And I mean, it's entirely possible that YouTube will submit to this pressure and go remove these particular videos. But once it opens the door to saying, if you identify something incorrect on our site, we'll take it down. I mean, there are billions of videos floating out there. And so YouTube doesn't want to get pulled into a cycle where it's devoting more and more and more and more resources to policing on what is and isn't true and what is and isn't okay and decent. It's really hard to say how it's all gonna shake out.
So how much control does YouTube have over these videos and over the ads that appear next to them?
Well, I mean, on one sense, if you take a step back, obviously it has all the control in the world. It's a private company. It's a private business model. It can do whatever it wants. There's sort of two questions: how much work it wants to put in and what kind of stands does it want to take and what kind of controversies does it want to get involved in? So it absolutely could go through videos that are about climate change and individually assess them, but there's no way for an algorithm to tell whether someone is talking about CO2 sensibly. So it's a manual thing. And that's part of, I think, why YouTube has resisted getting pulled into these controversies, because there's no way around just some poor human being going and watching them all and picking out which ones are true from false.
Is it exclusively a problem here that is related to climate change and misinformation around that? Or have we seen it, I don't know, with, say, vaccine and anti-vaxxer videos?
Oh, no, you'll find the most misinformation around topics that are the most sort of heated and controversial and closest to sort of the center of America's kind of ongoing culture war. So I would even say it, like in terms of volume, climate misinformation is probably a relatively low percentage. There's probably a lot more about vaccines, which people care about, or about the wall on the border, or, you know, how many votes Trump got, like all these sort of things, which are much more current and heated. So no, this is a absolutely ubiquitous systemic problem for YouTube. It's not some unique problem just facing climate videos.
What about the companies that are having their ads placed next to some of these videos that may not align with their corporate beliefs? Why aren't they clamoring for something to be done?
Well, they are clamoring a little bit. You know, when they found out, as I said to a lot of them, it was absolutely news, you know, news to them that their ads were appearing in these videos. And when they were told, they are now clamoring for YouTube to take their ads out of these particular videos. But, you know, this just runs into the same problem, which is this sort of two contrasting incentives. The companies want their ads to play as wide as possible, and they don't want to get in the business of individually approving each video that their ad goes into, right? Like that's just an endless swamp of work. And same for YouTube. So there's got to be some balance here between algorithmic, just allowing the algorithm to do it, and then occasionally intervening in particularly egregious cases. It's just no one knows where that line is. So if I really wanted to put my mind to it, I'm sure I could take a Johnson & Johnson ad and track down everywhere it's appeared on YouTube, and I could find a lot more than climate misinformation. I could find plenty of other offensive or unpleasant videos, I'm sure that it's appeared in because the algorithm's just throwing it everywhere. And Johnson & Johnson, I'm sure, would object to a lot of those. But like, what's the final answer here? I mean, there's no real final answer. There's just this push and pull between these sort of automatic algorithms and someone using human judgment.
That's David Roberts at Vox. I'm Jack Stewart, and that's Marketplace Tech. And now for some related links. David Roberts' story goes into some fantastic detail about why we all seem so susceptible to mis- and disinformation, no matter how smart we think we are. He goes deep into the psychology of fast and slow thinking, or gut reactions versus reasoning. He also writes about the difficult position that social media platforms find themselves in. They don't want to be perceived as biased, and they don't want to be the gatekeepers deciding what is information and what is falsehood. We've also got a link to the original reporting into this from Avaaz. They're a self-proclaimed global web movement to empower people to take action on pressing issues. It's really interesting stuff. And we'll link you to the original text of the letter from Democratic Congresswoman Kathy Castor, which calls on YouTube to stop including any climate misinformation in its recommendation algorithms. She is chair of the US House Select Committee on the Climate Crisis. She's asking the platform to label these videos as borderline content. That is something that YouTube's been able to do before with anti-vaccine videos, which stops them being monetized with adverts from companies that may not want to be associated with that content. The letter asks for a reply from Sundar Pichai, CEO of Alphabet, by today, Friday. So I guess we'll see. I'm Jack Stewart, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.